Welcome to Abound in Hope, a podcast from Imprint Church. Our goal is to help you apply the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyday life. All right, welcome back to Abound in Hope. I am Rex Gorman. I'm sitting here with...
I'm Darren Larson.
And Tom Regan.
And we also have a very special guest with us today. Very special guest. Who are you?
Hey, I'm Sean Gasparetti. I'm the pastor of Reach Church in Everett, which is just a bit north of you guys.
Yeah.
Thanks for making the drive down here.
We are pumped to have you, Sean. Hey, Darren, why is Sean here? What are we doing right now?
Yeah, because we love churches.
Yeah, for real.
We love what God is doing amongst the churches, and we want to celebrate what God is doing amongst other gospel-centered churches in our region. We're doing this series called Lampstands, which is our new series, kind of still pretty new. We don't always say we're in the middle of a series anymore.
Yeah, I said that during Word of Our Testimony, and in reality, it was like the second to last
end of
episode.
It. Yeah, totally. So we're kind of at the beginning, honestly, of a series we're calling Lampstands, which is from Revelation 1, where you kind of see in the midst of the lampstands, which represent the churches, the seven churches that are, I think, are representing all the churches in Revelation, you see one like a son of man clothed with a long robe with a golden sash around his chest. And so you get this picture of the churches, the lampstands.
It says he's among the lampstands.
He's among
the lampstands. He walks amongst the lampstands.
Yeah. It's honestly my vision of church and why I love church so much, because I come because Jesus is going to be amongst the lampstands.
Yeah, he's here with us. I think that's, I tear up every time I talk about that. I think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
I think you pointed that out to me probably 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, the church is great because Jesus is here.
Like, yeah.
That's one of the thing. So
it's compelling, you know, this idea. And so if Jesus is amongst not just Imprint Church, but amongst other churches as well, we get to hear about what Jesus is doing amongst the other churches around us. And that's why we're doing this Lampstands series.
Yeah, we are pumped. This will probably last throughout the summer.
And I think so.
We hope that you guys will just be able to rejoice with us in what the Lord is doing around us. It can be easy to be down about things, but we hope you'll rejoice in the fact that Jesus is walking amongst his church and he's present in there with them. So Sean, man, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Where are you from? Yeah. How'd you meet Jesus? Quickly.
Yeah.
Right. 30 seconds or less.
Yes. Well, I feel like I'm kind of a rare bird because I'm actually from the area. I grew up in Snohomish.
Nice.
So I've been in Washington. I've been local for my whole life. I came to know the Lord in my teens. My parents were first-generation Christians. Dad grew up Roman Catholic. Mom didn't have any faith background, but came to know the Lord in her early 20s. Similarly with my dad, through both exposure to the church and some wacky Keith Green songs.
Awesome.
And so, you know, I was born into a Christian family, but they were really just rough disciples, just trying to figure it out themselves.
Yeah.
It just kind of brought us to church.
Mm-hmm.
When I was seven, my family was invited to be a part of a church plant, which was originally a Bible study, became a church plant. Now it's actually a church in our area that has planted multiple churches
and
continues to do great ministry. Faithful pastor who's retiring soon. And so that's been really cool to kind of have that part of our background. But really, I'd say...
Do you remember that, out of curiosity, like the church plant experience?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Like setting up chairs in a cafeteria or something
absolutely,
like that?
Absolutely, yeah.
Dude, that's awesome.
It's a lot of what all of us have done as church planters.
100%.
And it was kind of a cool thing. You know, we'll talk about it eventually, just that we planted a church ourselves. But when we opened up our church in the elementary school we were renting, it was like a massive flood flashback of my childhood.
I believe
Well, like, oh my gosh, this is kind of the breeding grounds for me being exposed to Christianity, to faith. And
that's
really to seeing faithful disciples just kind of work out their faith.
Man, that's a super like unique experience. That's a cool experience. Because,
yeah.
I mean, church planting has been around, obviously, since, like, you know, Paul was around. But it's sort of like the word, like the phrase church planting kind of came back into vogue in the past, I don't know, 20 years or so, 30 years. So it's cool that you got to, like, I don't know, be that was like where your faith grew.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Yeah. It was fun because I can think about the way my parents were when I was young, so 5, 6, 7, versus who they are today.
Yeah.
And I've just kind of watched them steadily grow in faithfulness and maturity over the years. And I got to kind of see that unfold as a child. And so I had good exposure. I had a great youth pastor growing up. You know, and that doesn't mean that I was without pain or challenges or frustrations or struggles or whatever else, but certainly was in a healthy church environment with a good pastor over me. And so by the time I gave my life truly to Christ, I was about 14 years old. I was at a camp, classic, you know, youth group kid thing. Go outside, you know, we've done the speaker thing. Go outside, do some business with God. And so I just sat Yeah, just in the quiet, in the presence of God, and just in that moment, just surrendered my life fully to Jesus. And the words I prayed specifically were, "Jesus, I will follow you till the day I die," at 14. And awesome. I don't think I really understood what that prayer was going to mean to me over the years. I just knew it was a turning point where I went from kind of being a church kid and somebody that was, you know, keen about Jesus to now actually saying, I really want to follow Jesus.
Yeah.
And, you know, I used to think in the past, I think a lot of people that grew up in the church might have a testimony where you think, oh, it's boring. I didn't do a lot of stuff or, you know, is this really real or whatever? And I think I had this epiphany one day and I was even thinking about, as I was reading through the Old Testament, thinking about Abraham and the generations that followed him and kind of what God's intention was for Abraham, I thought, this is how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
My parents met Christ and provided a space where I could encounter Christ provided a church environment.
Man,
and
that's beautiful.
I walked into a church setting and was exposed and discipled towards Jesus. And then when I finally made that decision for myself, I think it saved me from a lot of stupid decisions I could have made.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah.
And so I'm grateful for that. And so I pray for that for my kids. I want them to have a really boring testimony.
Totally.
Because I would love for them to just know the faithfulness of God for all the days of their lives.
That's super cool. So tell us about your family since you mentioned your children.
Yeah. My wife, Karen, and I, we met back in 2006. We've been married since 2008.
Nice.
When we met, I was kind of a band guy. I was touring around and doing stuff. And so when I asked her dad for permission to marry her, he said, I'm not so sure yet. I would like to see your budget plan. You're just getting cash after a tour and calling it good. Like, I'd like to see what your plan is.
Yeah.
And so kind of made some pivots and some changes and ultimately really felt called to ministry, felt called to marriage, felt called to family. And so proposed to her. We got married in 2008. And then
you told her dad, like, I'm planning on church planning, and that's got a lot of financial security to it.
Yeah, there you go. Good.
You're like,
yeah.
No, I think I'm going to work part time at Trader Joe's, and I might, you know, be an intern at Youth for Christ. I just had all these, you know, loose plans. And, but it was good. It really kind of woke me up at that time. And so we started our ministry journey in 2009. We've been in just a couple different settings. I was a youth pastor for a little while. I've been mostly a worship leader for most of my life. So I spent a lot of time as a worship pastor after that. Associate pastor in another setting. And then most recently, we planted a church together. We got two kids.
2017.
2017,
Nice.
Our daughter Adelie is 7. Our son Leo is 4. And we walked through some infertility stuff as well, and God provided in some miraculous ways through that. So
that's awesome.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's great to hear.
So going back to the idea of going to ministry, you've spent a lot of your life in ministry besides doing band. Where was the moment where you said, like, God's called me to ministry? Can you think, I mean, we heard your salvation story. Was there a time where you're like, man, I'm supposed to be doing vocational ministry for all of my life?
Yeah. You know, it was interesting. It was throughout high school. I had been in junior high really focused on sports, and then I realized I'm not going to keep up with everybody, and I picked up a guitar.
I had that experience too. Yeah,
yeah, well, I think many of us did. Yep. We became pastors.
Yeah, I couldn't do anything else.
I'm looking around going, everyone's better than me.
Yeah. That looks like an easy job. I'll do that.
Yeah, exactly.
So I ended up becoming a worship leader in high school and doing a lot through that. And I had a lot of the more Pentecostal leading friends that would say, you're really anointed in this and you should do this. And I didn't know what that meant. I just thought they thought I was decent at it. And but by the end of high school, I was tired and I didn't think it was something I wanted to pursue. But then just through talking to some mentors and I was on a mission trip at one point and just God kind of just brought all of these thoughts and ideas together. And it was like this light bulb moment for me where I realized, this is something I've been walking in faithfully, and it seems like something that I have a propensity towards and I enjoy. And so I said, hey, I'm going to take a crack at pursuing ministry. I'm going to go to Bible school. So I went to this little Bible school in Abbotsford, BC for a couple of years, focused on worship leading. I felt like I was called to be a worship leader. I wouldn't even use the word pastor.
Yeah. Yeah.
This worship leader. I'll just play my guitar and sing songs. And, the Lord really led me on an interesting path over those next several years of opening my eyes to what pastoral ministry was.
Yeah.
And I realized even for me, worship was a vehicle for caring for people.
Totally.
And I loved the music part, but it wasn't exclusively about music for me or, you know, just singing my songs. It was an opportunity to build into and equip people and to lead the body of Christ into the presence of God in a way that was different than just, you know, anything else. And so,
not a concert.
No,
not a concert.
Because I had done that. I had done concerts. I had been the center of attention and knew what that felt like. And so for me, worship leading, and I think some worship leaders do struggle with this, but for me, I never have. as much because I know the difference.
Yeah.
Like I know what it feels like to get attention, and I know what it feels like to be trying to, you know, engage the presence of God with friends and family.
Yeah.
And they're very different experiences.
Yes.
So try to lead that way.
That's super cool. I imagine there's a lesson to learn for any worship leader in
that. Oh, absolutely. Like, yeah. I can identify with everything you just said, where it's, this is, if you're finding this is something that you're doing to either get attention or build a platform or whatever, it's going to turn to ash in your mouth pretty quick.
You bet.
It's going to be really unsatisfying really fast. And if it, there's something better on the other side of that, though, I think, where you start seeing, well, what I'm doing is a teaching ministry. What I'm doing is a discipleship and can be a comfort and can be pastoral. So I think there's something awesome there for sure.
Yeah, for
it's cool.
Sure.
It's cool that God took you through that without having you, like, you know, fall on your face first. That's pretty great. You didn't have to walk through the, man, I hate what I'm doing right now, and I'm not sure why. So
yeah.
That's cool. So you got kind of a sense of calling to ministry in the middle of being a leader, being a worship leader, and figuring that out. When did it translate to an idea of like, man, I want to be a pastor now? Like, what do I want? And maybe even a lead pastor to get you up to kind of the church you plan to called Reach.
Well, I think one of the themes of my ministry journey has always been me saying I don't want to do something and then God equipping me to do that thing. And then I kind of wake up one day and realize I'm doing the thing I didn't want to do, or I'm being invited to do the thing I don't want to do. And so I should probably just be faithful and take those steps.
There you go.
Yeah.
And so that's a bit of what happened. I got pursued by a pastor named Mark Morrison, who actually is the planter of Evergreen Church in Bothell. He ended up at a church in Snohomish and through a series of connections invited me to consider being his youth pastor. And I'd always said, I never want to be youth pastor. And my wife said, I never want to be married to a youth pastor.
Yeah.
And so I had coffee with him. I said, no. He said, why don't we meet for coffee in 2 weeks? I just am curious to talk to you again. Same thing. Said no a second time. And then he goes, he was ambitious. He said, a third time, let's have coffee. I just want to take one more crack. And so we really went away and just prayed through this and really sought the Lord and just kind of searched our hearts. And once again, it was kind of like this aha moment of, you know, I think this is something God is leading us towards. I had applied for worship jobs, kept getting struck down, or like, oh, you're the number two pick, but we picked this other guy.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Just couldn't land the job. And so finally it was, okay, let's take this step in faith. And it was so stretching. I hadn't had a lot of experience preaching, certainly leading up in terms of older adults that were youth leaders there who had been there for a long time. But that's when I feel like I really understood what it meant to be a pastor, because I realized, man, these kids need presence, they need love, they need the gospel, they need community, and I wasn't just playing songs anymore. I was trying to lead them towards Christ, and I was, you know, in my early 20s, actually doing a decent job. I mean, I messed up so many things, I'm sure, but but certainly felt like, oh, this is something I have energy around and I'm excited to do. And so that's when it changed for me. And I even think with worship leading, that's when it started to shift, where I realized, oh, this is pastoral. This isn't just about music and creativity.
Yeah.
That's a vehicle for sure, but the purpose is caring for people and loving them towards, you know, Christ and exposing them to the gospel.
That's cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
And what was the experience of like mentorship and stuff in that church? Mark was the pastor, I take it, of this place.
Yeah.
Was there a good relationship of like mentorship and learning how to do pastoral ministry in the context of that as well?
Yeah. You know, I think the thing I loved about Mark is he was just a very steady, faithful shepherd.
Yeah.
One of those guys that, you know, just, he's not going to, you know, be some mega podcaster or, you know, have a bunch of book deals or something.
Like ours. This is a
like
mega
this.
Podcast.
This is a mega podcast.
Millions in our audience now.
Yeah, we're breaking out, guys.
Totally.
No, but he was just faithful. You know, he's the guy that was constantly, the minute he's getting calls to go visit the hospital, he's like, okay, let me get my portable communion. I'm ready to go. Like,
that's
he just was dialed on caring for people. And I think
he's still doing that. Can I just testify? Like I meet with Mark every other week. Like
do you really?
We're meeting tomorrow.
Yes.
No kidding.
Yeah. He's like this figure in my life who's like a stabilizing force and prays for me.
Wow.
So, this is why I asked, because I know Tom meets with him, and I met him for the first time at Sidekick Coffee recently. Yeah.
I'll tell him tomorrow that you're on. I'm gonna say, hey, listen to this, Mark.
Listen to this podcast, Mark. Yeah. You're a hero.
Yeah. No, you're a legend. Yeah.
I would honestly say I would have not planted and even been considering leading a church had it not been for Mark asking me three times to be his youth pastor. It literally changed my life. And I only did it for just shy of 2 years. I didn't do it for very long.
Yeah.
And it was hard for Kara and I because It wasn't something that came naturally. It was isolating. There weren't a lot of people in our demographic at that church. So yeah. There were some challenges there. But my goodness, like that was the catalyst that God used to put us on a pastoral trajectory. And Mark was really the tool in God's hand to get us there.
That's yeah. So cool. You know, it seems like a lot of us who are in ministry full-time vocationally need someone to do that. We did my podcast a few weeks ago, which was on calling. I was the special guest, the quote-unquote special guest. Yes. Rex never let me have that title.
That's
but,
not true, Darren.
Was that Jim Carrey, Me, Myself, and Irene? Where
yeah,
it's
yeah.
Like three different
that's
persons.
That's right. That's right.
Darren's
exactly.
Interviewing
I'm
himself.
I'm finally going to do my own podcast.
It's actually pretty incoherent if you listen to it. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway.
But I needed someone to believe in me. I needed someone to say, you should do this, like you said with Mark, like to point to you and say, I believe in you. I think you should do this, or to bug you three times for coffee to drag you into this ministry. And it's kind of, I feel like that's a common story of people.
It is. You kind of get tapped on the shoulder and somebody sees something in you because really there are no, I don't see in scripture any self-appointed pastors.
Seriously.
No. Yeah. Somebody has to recognize and then it turns into a church body.
Yep.
Officially recognizing you and bringing you on.
Totally.
That's necessary. So you have some confidence. Hey, it's not just me saying, hey, I'm called to this. Like, that internal desire that we talked about, and then the external affirmation that comes.
And Pastor, being a pastor is not a title given as much as it is as a position earned in people's lives. You know what I mean? Like you're doing the work of pastoral ministry, and people recognize that and say, man, you have an opportunity here to use that for the good of the kingdom. So that's cool.
Yeah.
So, okay, keep us going here. This is a fascinating story. So what happened at the end of your youth pastor days?
Yeah, so it was interesting. I was sitting in my office one day and just kind of feeling this stirring, and I just started praying, God, is this... you know, how long is this season meant to go? I just feel uncomfortable.
Were you tired at that point? Or was
I was a little tired. I think I was just wondering because I still long to be in worship ministry.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. And I just was praying about that. And so during the course of that next month, I had around 5 different conversations unsolicited come towards me about worship positions.
Oh, interesting.
It was really wild. Very different positions, very different places. I interviewed at 3. It was really unexpected, but one of them was with Bob Stone, who was at Shoreline Community Church at the time.
Yeah,
another mentor and figure in my life, who we're actually doing some ministry with tomorrow. In fact,
another kind of legend around the Northwest.
A legend in
right?
the Northwest. Yeah, another totally. Faithful yep. saint that's just persevered. And so, my wife and I sat with him and Nancy, his wife, and just felt so like-minded. And they were inviting us to be their worship pastors. And I was actually following a friend who had previously been their worship pastor. And so there was some equity there.
Cool.
And there was some trust and there was some excitement. And I thought, man, this is somebody I would love to learn from.
Yeah.
And so we did. We took a crack at that and worked with him for a few years. And Bob was somebody who really showed me, once again, faithfulness, but also perseverance. He'd gone through a lot in his life and his ministry career. And so he almost kind of prepared me for... you know, the different hits that we might take as pastors down the road and some of the challenges we might face, and showed me how to weather that well and to be faithful through those things. And so I did that for a few years with Bob and it was really, really, really fruitful.
That's awesome. Did you watch him walk through stuff or did he just kind of, with his wealth of experience, just kind of tell you this is what's coming?
He had been through some things previously in ministry in the decade or two prior. And so he was in his next post that we worked with him at was just kind of a place where he was going to retire from eventually. Yeah. And so I just got to learn and kind of absorb
that's
lessons
awesome.
He shared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'd say in a sense, that's almost, I don't know, I think there's benefits to both, but I feel like at this point he's more processed it so he can kind of give it to you in cookie form instead of like calling you in the middle of the night being like, hey, I'm thinking about quitting my job. Yeah. Like that's a different type of learning. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, before I forget, do you still do music these days? I mean, you're in a different role now. But,
You're
still brusking out on the corner there? No.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Yeah. Open the guitar case.
Yeah, in front of my own church.
Yeah. I was going to say, can you guys help me? I'm a church planner. I need money. Yeah.
He closes the case and walks up on stage and starts preaching.
Yeah.
And
like, what?
Yeah. I try to. I did actually, I was asked to go lead worship, funny enough, at my graduate high school, Snohomish High School.
Dude.
For their baccalaureate service on Sunday.
Oh, amazing.
So I just did that. My brother and I, a few other friends I used to lead worship with at Snohomish in high school. we all came back, you know, a couple decades later to lead for a bunch of graduating seniors.
That's really
and
cool.
And just invest in them and just say, hey, you can be faithful to Jesus after you graduate. And
that's so cool.
That was a ton of fun getting to do that with them. I have been in a band over the last couple years that is a little bit on hiatus, but...
Give us the name.
It's called Washington Mile.
Look them up on Spotify.
Spotify.
That's right.
There's a few songs. Yeah, and so a couple friends and I, we've kind of off and on been in this project and recorded some stuff, and I just love it. It's a great outlet. I would love to keep playing a little bit more, but with young kids and ministry, there's a lot going on, and so it's just not as high priority. But
I think with young kids, you can have like one hobby maybe.
Yeah.
And sometimes, only sometimes.
And your hobby is your kids.
Yeah.
Exactly. It involves not leaving your house.
You can have your kids.
TV,
you can have your kids and then one other thing.
Yeah,
and then sometimes.
Playing princess with my daughter or whatever she
wants
to do.
Yeah, that's your hobby.
Amazing. So, okay, you were at Shoreline for a while and did worship leading, and what happened after that experience?
Yeah, sounds like I'm church hopper. Is not what my intention was. I just kind of following the trajectory God had us on. We ended up working for a church called New Life in Everett. It was a large four-square church up there, and I had a lot of friends and relationship in that church. I had done a lot of summer camp ministry with them for high school kids. And they had an opening for a creative arts pastor, which was kind of overseeing a team of seven or eight creatives with different, you know, specific roles.
That was probably easy.
It was really easy.
Not stressful.
Nobody cared about quality or anything like that.
Leading a team of creatives. Yeah. You said that. That was like a little parentheses right there. But I saw pain in your eyes when you said that.
Not that I've done that, but I've heard things.
You keep them happy when it's like, hey, for staff meeting, we're driving to Seattle for coffee. They're like, yay!
So we're going to draw our emotions.
Like ping pong.
Here's some crayons. Let's draw some pictures.
Rex is crying right now.
A little bit.
It was good. It was a really cool team to be a part of. I worked with some world-class leaders and creatives, and just was very stretched at that capacity. It was a several thousand person church, and so not that that is that metric is neither here nor there, but it was like at that scale, you have a lot of responsibility and a lot of deliverables, and so it stretched me a lot, and honestly, it equipped me doing that. And then we did a rebranding project with them. I kind of led that project, and then oversaw their small group. Kind of rehash at one point. And so I kind of got like a very broad associate pastor experience, which in turn really prepared me for church planting.
Totally.
Because at that point, the only things I hadn't done were kids and custodial.
Yeah.
Well, I had been a custodian in an auto shop when I was 16. So I cleaned toilets, you know.
There you go.
So I kind of knew what to do, but...
That's super cool. I love that you got to have an experience of some of the different ministries in the church and various places that you were at to kind of prepare
you. Probably didn't realize that you were being prepared.
Yep.
No, and that's a huge theme that I've found and I try to encourage young leaders with is that you just be faithful to whatever God has put in your lap today because you just don't know what it's going to materialize as tomorrow.
Yeah.
And it really doesn't matter. Like maybe some skill you pick up isn't going to apply to ministry or to some, you know, position you hold one day, but it might. And so just be faithful, you know, don't go chasing accolade or don't go chasing a position. God will open the right doors in his time. If you're faithful and if you, it's the principle of the talents, you know, be a good steward of the talents he gives you.
Yeah.
And then see what happens. And, you know, your story will be told one way or another.
That's a cool word. Yeah, especially you can look at it on that on this side of it where you could be a lead pastor and say, man, the Lord used those experiences in my life to get me to where I'm at today.
Exactly.
So that's awesome. So after your experience at New Life, man, do you feel that calling like I'm supposed to plant a church? Was this starting to well up? You're still backing into this, huh?
Totally, yes. No, the best I can say is in my Evernote file, I had a file that I titled... if I ever plant a church.
Oh.
And honestly, all I would put in there is things I didn't want to do.
Totally.
So I'd be like, I'm never doing trunk or treat. I don't want to do trunk or treat.
But all the church
Man,
plants
what amazing
do trunk
strategy
or treat.
You were building up
yeah,
for a
it was,
future
it
church
was
plant.
Like so haphazard. Just, I just, here's
I'm
things I don't
again.
Like. I don't want to do, do these things. Or here was something cool I saw that was just, I just want to hold on to that idea here.
Yeah.
But I did not have any ambitions to plant a church nor lead a church. What happened was, and this is where it comes into the story of Reach. was I was friends with somebody named Josh, who was part of kind of the founding, you know, a couple families that started Reach Church in Kirkland, which is very close to you guys.
Totally, totally.
And him and I have been friends for years, and he called me one night and said, listen, we've been thinking about asking you for a while about maybe considering a role on our team. And when we were talking about church planting, and I had loved watching their story unfold. I just really believed in the vision and the heart of what Reach was up to.
I think they planted right around the same time we did, actually.
I think they're around 10 years
around
as well.
10 years. We're 10 years this year, and exactly. I think they are as well. So grateful for them. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yep.
And so I had watched their church unfold and talked to him a lot about ministry and was starting to get to know Brian a little bit and just really started praying about that offer. I said, are you serious? Why are you asking me to plant a church? And he's like, I just see things that maybe you don't see in yourself.
Man.
Thematically, once again, I'm just, you know, perpetually insecure and don't think I can do it. But the Lord continued to open doors and open conversations.
He asked you to coffee three times, I take it then. It's kind of
and on the third time, I finally said, okay.
Exactly. Yeah.
He wore me down.
Yeah. No, it was weird. It was, but it was certainly something that that God had to, once again, just open our hearts to. Mm-hmm. And when we started exploring the idea, exploring doing it with Reach, and really just exploring what would it be like to plant north of Kirkland, even, I just felt this massive sense of excitement and vision flood my system.
That's awesome.
Especially as I would go through Everett. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't know. Mm-hmm. I thought, oh, I'm going to go back to Everett. That seems kind of weird. But we really felt uniquely downtown Everett specifically was something I felt really called to minister to.
Yeah.
And so we said yes to this team. Jumped on the team for about a year. Did some training with Redeemer City to City, which is Tim Keller's organization.
Yeah, totally.
And we just started exploring planting. And Reach was really good to us. They helped us financially get started. Huh. They were a really safe place to land. I was really tired when I first got to them in Kirkland.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine. Yeah.
Oh, and they just gave me space to breathe and to kind of be and heal up and prepare for that burden of planting. And so, yeah, they're a family that we love and we're connected to by name and by values. We're actually in the process right now of separating our nonprofits, just kind of becoming standalone churches, but we're still very much connected relationally. And we love those guys.
And they hired you specifically for the plan of church planting. So you had no responsibilities at Reach Kirkland except to plan for your church plant. Is that right?
And they gave me a role on the team for that season, but they knew it would time out soon. And so I'd preach sometimes or lead worship every once in a while, or, you know, I oversaw connections, and it was just this very kind of...
Connections is such a vague word.
I know. It was, you know, process the cards.
It's like the black hole of ministry.
Yeah, exactly. Really yeah. But it was just really a chance to kind of absorb culture and to begin dreaming and preparing for planting. And that's what we did. And so they were really generous towards us and gave us space and funded us for the first year and a couple of years, just gave us help with salary things.
That's cool.
It was awesome. It was awesome.
But you felt going through Everett like this is where you actually felt a call to Everett in a sense then, like in terms of church planting. Because I think some church planters feel a call like, I'm supposed to plant a church. This is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
And and I don't know where, you know, like wherever. That's kind of my story, honestly. I wasn't quite sure where. But you had a call towards Everett. Tell us a little bit about that experience of like, man, I want to be here and I want to do ministry here.
Yeah. You know, it's weird. I don't want it to sound like it's too emotionally driven or something, because there was a lot of emotion attached to the experience. But I'm reminded of even Paul in Athens in Acts 17, where he's observing Athens and he's kind of making observations and he goes and he preaches kind of to that context. And I just wonder what it felt like for him to be observing and then commenting on their culture and having a stirring to present the gospel in that space.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's a bit of how I felt, where I'd go observe the city. And at that point, it wasn't very trendy, but I could tell it was like, there's something here. Mm. Everett has had all these false starts over the years. Mm. And I just thought, man, there's something about this city that I can't shake. And I could trace that back to 2012 at Shoreline. I had this sense of like, man, I wonder if I'll ever do ministry in Everett. Huh. Huh. And so God kind of put that as a theme on my heart years prior. But as we were getting ready to plant, I mean, I would drive through Bothell, I would drive through Mill Creek, I would drive through Mukilteo. I was just looking for something north of Kirkland.
Yep.
And I just felt like my vision and my excitement in these places would flatline. I might have a good cup of coffee and talk to some people, but I just did not feel like it was where we were supposed to plant. I'd go up to Everett and I felt like I was just seeing things. I'd see opportunities. Hmm. I'd meet people. I would ask, do you think there's need for the church, another church here? And there was excitement around that idea. And there was just so much favor. It seemed like God was just kind of unfolding in front of us that we said, let's just try this. And it was weird because, I mean, clearly you guys are on the east side. And so a lot of east side people would hear us say the word Everett
and
say,
turn their noses up a little bit. Yeah.
Everett.
Sure, yeah.
Maybe we won't be part of your core team.
I was going to say, did you build any kind of Kirkland to Everett's like 6 hours drive sometimes. So like, how do you make that work? You know, like, did you bring a bunch of people with you when you planted originally?
We had started a small group in Clearview with a few families that were a bit on kind of the north end of the east side. And so, you know, Clearview, Bothell, even Woodinville, just a few families that kind of live in those areas. And we'd meet just as a small group.
Yeah.
Some of them, when they learned we were planting a church, decided to come and help us. One of them is still with us.
Huh. Okay.
So we do have one family left from that small group. But by and large, we did not start with a whole lot of people from Kirkland or from that network. We really had to start from the ground up.
Yeah.
But God brought people, you know, he seemed to have a plan for us and he brought people.
That's super cool. So what would you say is the vision of Reach Church? Like what are you guys trying to do? Like what did you say? Like when you come into it, what would you say, man, I love Everett. Obviously you want the gospel to be proclaimed there and you want people to find new life in Christ. I mean, that's it. But what do you say? Like when you think of Reach Church, what do you want Reach Church to do in Everett? We want to hear that.
Yeah. You know, I think it's interesting. It's evolved. It's changed over the years. When we started, I really felt burdened for, and I think I still do. I would describe it as, maybe a nice way to say it would be like post-Christians.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people talk about, new conversion or people who have yet to be preached to. A lot of people talk about faithful saints. Mm-hmm. There's this weird category of people that we've all seen over the last several years, of folks who have gone through, whether it's a deconstruction process,
or just disillusionment
or
with
disillusionment,
the church itself.
Yeah. Just, you know, frustration with the church, displacement, and they're just kind of in no man's land. It's a little prodigal like for some. And I felt really burdened to be a church where they could come and reengage a gospel-centered, spirit-filled church that proclaimed the truth that was within the bounds of orthodoxy, but wasn't afraid to have conversations that they weren't wanting to have, you know, but weren't, you know, necessarily going to be swayed or redirect theologically as many churches have done. We wanted to stay the course and be really faithful to the scriptures.
Yeah.
But just acknowledge the tension that people might feel by the process they've been through. And so that was originally what we had planted with and hoped to minister a lot of those people. And we've had some of them come in for sure. I think in the recent years, our vision has almost kind of shifted. As much as it doesn't negate that, it's been really to strengthen the saints for the work of the ministry.
Nice, yeah.
I think through COVID and through the pandemic, I just watched so many people weather and get tired and many not come back.
Yeah.
I thought, man, this is like some of our core volunteers or people that we thought were really with us that didn't come back around. What happened? And I realized that there was like an inner resilience that was lacking for some. And maybe even a discipleship component that was lacking.
Totally.
That we started changing and saying, man, we've got to really dig into the scriptures on Sundays even more. And we already had been, but like really dig in and focus on the scriptures. And then also create environments where disciples are really digging into those hard conversations, but coming out on the other side equipped for the struggles ahead. And so if we have another pandemic or if stuff with government changed or, you know, if, you know, suddenly
there's
you can't
a recession
say
or
certain
something,
things or recession or whatever people are kind of afraid might happen. How do we equip people to just stay faithful to the call of Christ?
Like that's resilient discipleship.
Resilient discipleship.
Yeah.
What were some of the things that people were kind of deconstructing in the early days of Reach? Like, what were the things that you were trying to, like, we want to help you, want to grow with you? Or how did you handle some of the questions? I think sometimes we get a little bit, I don't know, scared of the questions, I suppose, that people ask, especially in Seattle, which some of the questions we could probably fill in the blank of what they are, but I don't want to steal your thunder here.
Yeah.
What are some of the things you were kind of wrestling with your people through at that time?
You know, I mean, there was the one-offs of, you know, things like, what do I do with sexuality? Here's what the world says. Here's what the church has said. Where are we at? You know, there's different like things like that that certainly come up. Mm-hmm. I'd say more thematically though, what I was often seeing was people who are just very tired. And like you said, disillusioned.
Yeah.
Just, I've been a part of a church. I got wounded.
It hurt. Yeah.
It hurt a bit. I just don't know if I've got it in me to keep going.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't say I didn't have people systematically deconstructing in my church.
Yeah.
Maybe some churches have that. I'd say it was more so we've seen fatigued believers and even actually a lot of fatigued ministry leaders
Man, yeah.
who've come through our church that are just looking for respite.
Yeah.
And I think God's graced us to be a safe space for people in that season, just where they can come and be. And if they're ministered to for 6 months and they leave, I'm not offended by that. You know, I tell them all the time, like, my goal is not to keep you here forever. My goal is to equip you in this season to be faithful in the next, whatever
that's awesome,
that means.
Yeah.
Let's all get to 80 years old and just be yucking it up about all the cool things Jesus did in our lives with no major, you know, failures behind us. Let's just be faithful.
Right.
It doesn't mean that you have to adopt the Reach brand. Just be faithful to Jesus.
Yeah. That's praise super God. Cool. It's funny. I think of that same thing happening with Imprint, weirdly enough.
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing.
Was not even the early days, till
So I remember when I got here, which was 2018, I felt like, you know, we had just sent out Bothell as well. And so it was kind of a weird dichotomy, and it was happening at Bothell as well. But Bothell was like, you know, they're on campus at UW, Bothell, and it's exciting. Seems like young families go there.
Yep.
And it felt like at Woodinville almost, we were getting like worn out people.
Or
like people who used to be in ministry.
And extra ministry people who would show up, like you said, to like have a respite. Like they're tired, they're not sure what to do. I mean, I can't tell you how many pastors or ex-pastors came through Imprint and have now gone back into ministry after being here for a while. I'd like to blame that on ourselves and say we did such a good job of healing them, but that's not true. Jesus does the work. But it was cool to see that. I was glad to see that. I'm glad to hear that Reach did that too. That means a lot to me. I think we need more people who want to be in ministry. Although it's a lot of times I tell people don't go into ministry unless you absolutely have to. But but it's cool to see that.
So part of that, it seems like, is just not amplifying the Reach brand, TM.
Oh,
like,
thanks for that.
To the point of like, this is what we're about. I know church planning is difficult. Like, what was this? Was there ever a struggle in your head of like, all right, what do I do here to make sure people know who Reach is, but also we don't want to make little Reach people, we want to make disciples of Jesus. What was that?
Right.
What was that struggle like?
Well, it's. I think it's always a struggle. I mean, I think if we're honest,
totally.
Especially for me as somebody who's kind of more creative bent, I still do a lot of our visuals, graphics, video, social stuff. So a lot of that is still things that I have my hands on, and I want it to present well. You know, I want it to look good.
Totally.
I love a good design. 100%. I want it to look good, and so. On one hand, somebody might see from the outside with no exposure to us other than, say, Instagram. They might think a certain thing about the church based on the visuals and say, oh, it's just about the brand. At the heart of it, we do not care about the brand.
Yeah,
it is just a name that somebody picked. And we really do care about faithfulness to Christ and to long haul ministry. Mm-hmm. And so, honestly, I think by the time they hear us or hear me preach, or exposed to our environments, my hope is that they would be exposed to the idea that this isn't about Reach.
Yeah.
This really isn't about Reach. I mean, even the fact that we're doing this podcast should be evidence that, like, I love Imprint. I have had friends who have attended here and have been very blessed here and maybe only left because they moved away or something, but have really loved this church. Mm. And I've really appreciated, especially you and Tom, just knowing you guys for a number of years and just seeing your faithfulness. It's such an encouragement to me. If anybody from my church decided they liked Imprint more and wanted to come, I would be so pleased with that.
And we'd say the same about Reach.
Yeah, man,
that's a good gospel-centered church.
If anyone's listening
there
in Everett and is tired of the drive or the gas prices.
Yeah, you can go to Reach. Yeah, Sean's a good guy. Yes, we believe it. Can I ask you another question? Since we're on this Reach brand, quote unquote brand, I'm okay with sharing a little bit of what's your favorite parts of Reach? I mean, what are you guys doing? Like, I want to hear like what your people are doing and what you're excited about in the ministry. Where have you seen the Lord?
Last couple years,
it's
been a pretty tough season for everyone.
Yeah.
If you want, you can cut off 2020 to 2021, but everything else is
lop off. Yeah.
Yeah. What's Reach doing?
Yeah. Gosh. Well, I think one of the craziest things that happened to us during the pandemic was we were a mobile church. So we had been meeting in a elementary school for just about 2 years, 2018 to 2020, and set up Teardown. We dialed it in. As a touring musician, everything was on wheels, and everything fit like Tetris into the trailer. me and my buddy, like, we knew exactly what we wanted to see happen.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we really enjoyed the mobile ministry. But what happened actually right before the pandemic was we were approached by another church and this might trigger some, but the reality is it was actually the original Mars Hill Everett location, which became Foundation Church.
Yeah.
And they had originally let us use their building for 6 months when we first planted, just on Sunday nights, generously. And they were our heroes. Like they let us start the church basically because we had a spot, and would continue to let us use space in their facility for a men's event.
Yeah, because you were booted out like every other church during the pandemic. Is that right? Like you couldn't be in a school anymore. Kind of like us, we experienced the same thing.
Yeah, but so here was what was crazy about it. We had this friendship with Foundation, where we already had an existing relationship. They even let me use an office in their building. And we were doing this mobile church thing. Well, they approached us. They were kind of winding down as a church for a variety of reasons and decided that they were going to make a change. And it was either going to, you know, be adopted by another church, merge, do something. And there's a whole backstory to that, which I don't need to go into. But it was very difficult.
Yeah, sure.
As you can imagine. And so they came to us and said, hey, what do you guys think about just having a conversation? And, you know, me and some of the elders at Kirkland, we all met with them. And honestly, our priority was just, we're just happy to be here and can just pray with these guys and help them kind of navigate next steps. We had no intention or hopes of what the outcome would be.
Yeah, yeah.
They actually floated the idea of a church adoption.
Wow.
They said, why don't you guys, you know, we're going to, you know, invite some of our families to join you if you're open to that. And then why don't you move into this building?
Wow.
And so we prayerfully considered that. And what was crazy is even their mortgage that they were paying monthly, I come to find out was the same that we ended up paying at the school for our rent. So it's really low.
Dang,
to rent, to have this whole building to ourselves. And so we said, well, yeah, let's go for it. And so we said yes to this. We said, they're going to join us on March 3rd for our very first service together at the school.
March 3rd.
We'll do 6 months together.
2020.
Oh man, I'm laughing so I don't cry.
I know that date.
And then we'll launch on Easter. We'll go clean up the building, do some painting. We'll make it our own. And then we'll all together as one big family come back. And I was in Philadelphia when everything started shutting down with my dad and brother. We were major Rocky fans. And so we were doing all the Rocky tourist stuff. I'm not kidding. It was for my dad's 70th birthday.
Adrian.
Very much. And I get this call from my from one of my staff members. And they're like, things are shutting down over here. And so we were forced to, we're like tag teaming an email to the church writing, hey, we're going to shut down the church. And that was the week that Foundation folks were supposed to join us.
Oh, man.
Oh, no.
It was devastating.
Yep. Yeah.
And, you know, we wanted so desperately to be able to walk through that together, but it just, everybody was in it, obviously. And so we were given a building. We were excited to meet some new people, and everybody met me online.
That's crazy.
Live stream. That's how our relationship began.
That's hard.
Weird.
Yeah. And so, but what God did through that is, I don't know if we would have weathered the pandemic had we not had a place to go back to.
Yeah. Yep.
Because we hadn't established culture enough to even get to that point where we could sustain through the turmoil. And so we had this building to look forward to. We did work parties, and we opened up in September 2020, you know, kind of with all the stuff in place. And it was incredible. Hmm. It was incredible. It was like, oh, this is a new chapter for us. And so we've been open since that time.
That's awesome.
That is crazy. Yeah. But what a weird experience to be able to go in and say, man, I'm going to have a new momentum growing for church ministry, more people. We're going to have to kind of combine cultures in some ways, although Reach Church is probably the dominant culture in a sense. Yeah. Like there's a lot of things with that.
Yeah.
But then you just lose all the momentum at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, that's tough.
Is it sort of, I mean, looking back, did it kind of feel like a reset button on culture just all the way around?
In a way, yeah, because we'd been closed for 7 months. And then when we came back, we had some new faces and we had some old faces and we were in a new room and new systems, bigger team that had to be in place. And so it was like, this is different because we had this scrappy thing going at the school and people that liked that really liked it. And now we're in this really nice building that that a couple churches have really invested a lot of energy into.
Yep.
And it's this grace that we've been granted to minister in this space.
Yeah.
But it was different. It was like a different perspective. Mm. I feel the same. I feel like the same guy.
Totally.
I'm not like, don't feel like I'm some more like a better pastor or something because we have a building. It's actually,
you're like,
more
I can do ministry in a school and I can do ministry in a building.
Yeah. It's just wherever we are, we're just trying to be faithful to what God gives us. But it did change because when you get into a building, suddenly even the way people see you is different.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So then we 100%. Had a lot more people coming in saying, well, what do you do for women's ministry? What do you do for youth?
Yeah, yeah,
what do you do for, and we're like,
you
we
have
are
a building,
still a plant.
So, yeah.
We have a building.
Have a building.
Yeah. But like we're a staff of 2.5
totally.
At that time.
Seriously.
And
seriously.
It was just like, we're not dialed in. We're just trying to be faithful with what God has given us.
Yeah. You should have said, what are you doing for women's ministry?
I often would say that.
Yeah. What's cool is, I mean, you told a story of like what I see is God sustaining a church. Like he is the one who builds the church. He is the one who sustains the church. And without this opportunity that came up with Foundation to have this building, you mentioned a second ago, you're not sure if you were to survive the pandemic.
The same is true for Bothell.
I would say, yeah, right? like the Lord had a plan.
In Prim Bothell, had we not had a home, building to come to, right? Yeah. And a staff to join up with.
Like, that's a crazy thread to pull on, too, because, man, if you hadn't had brain cancer, then I think you would have launched Bothell differently and maybe not as part of the umbrella of Imprint Church.
Yeah, it's amazing to
and
think.
And so it's like
to
think all, that, think those, all the things back.
Those pieces are connected.
Yeah,
there's a level of sovereignty that you just have to say, man, I'd like to think I control these things, but I just don't. Like, the Lord is in charge.
Oh,
you know?
Completely. So. And it reminds me of when Jesus was talking to Peter, and he said, upon this rock I will build my church.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times we think about how cool that must have felt for Peter, but I often think, wow, like Jesus said, I will build my church. The operative word being I, it's his church. Mm-hmm. And so in 2020, when we've got this whole adoption thing happening, pandemic, honestly, I had almost a mental health break in the spring of that year, and was just, I had to take a few weeks off just to recalibrate.
Totally.
And I was forced to remember, wow, Jesus is the one who builds his church. He's the sustainer of the body. And that's why I have so much hope in this thing. Even when we see things fall apart in a community, or we go through hardship, I just have so much hope because Jesus is the one that said he's building it. And we get to come alongside and play a part, but it's ultimately not up to us.
That's cool.
It's up to him.
Yeah.
And so that's really helped me as we've been leading when we, you know, face different challenges or different critiques or hardships in the family. It's like, you know, at the end of the day, even if this thing fell apart tomorrow, this is his church.
Amen.
It's not my church.
Absolutely.
I don't need to put my full identity on this. I need to put my identity in him and let him use me however he sees fit.
Yeah, it's a good word. So this is kind of a gross question, but let me ask it anyway. What's your 5-year plan? No, I'm just kidding. Like, no, what do you think Jesus is doing in your church right now in the future? And what do you long to see? I know it's kind of a weird question because I always feel like pastors are supposed to be these visionaries. And I'm like, I just want to
know what the Lord's going to do.
I know, right? Like, at some level, I just want to back up and say, like, a pastor's not a businessman. For the love of Pete, you know, we can't create our forecasting and budgeting and all that kind of stuff. But really, I think you have some vision, I would imagine. So, what are you excited about? What Reach is doing now and doing in the future as well?
I think in the immediate future, I think what we're noticing, especially there's some term I heard recently that was describing. This idea of what it felt like for people to be in the pandemic and then kind of the kickback over the last 2 years. It's like you weather the storm. And then once you get through it, I think this is probably true of a lot of trauma where you get through it and then you get to a safe place where you can start processing. And then all of the stuff comes to the
bubbles
surface.
Up. Isn't that true?
Yeah. And I think I've seen that start happening in the church and a lot of my friends have reported the same. And so I think that right now, you know, discipleship and resilience in faithfulness to Christ for the body, and really just healing, I think, is a lot of our priority.
Totally.
For people is just strengthening the saints.
Yeah.
Helping people get to solid ground again, helping them process some of their wounds and their challenges. Because if we're sending people out to be these grandiose missionaries, but they're deeply wounded and not dealing with their past issues, then they're going to get eaten alive out there.
Absolutely.
And I just really want to help our church be healthy and be steady and be faithful. And so that's been a huge priority in the immediate. Part of that includes, we just brought on a youth director. And so he's just launching our youth group finally.
Sweet.
That's awesome.
And so we
that's
had a really,
really cool.
strong
Praise
launch. We're really excited about what's going on there. And a lot of these kids are going through stuff that, I mean, man, back in the 90s, like it is like a different world
totally.
For them than what I grew up in. And so just really excited to see youth cared for in our church. We're seeing a good influx of new believers.
Yeah.
So we're trying to disciple some new believers right now. So a lot of it is just kind of family housekeeping.
Yeah.
Has been the focus for the season. I think down the road, though, we have this building. It's a 40,000 square foot old National Guard armory.
Wow.
That has
right near Funko, right?
Like right 2 blocks from Funko.
That's so fun.
Right in the heart of the city. It's got tons of space. Right now we've got Toys for Tots, who serves Snohomish County. they served over 60,000 kids with free toys for Christmas last year. That happens out of our basement.
That's sweet.
And so there's ministry like that that's taking place in the building. And so I really would hope to see us use our facility as an outpost for hope and for good ministry.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's kind of interesting that's happening right now too is I'm I'm having these little opportunities come up to interact with the city at different levels and kind of getting invited to these committees or, you know, public safety conversations. And so really just trying to figure out, okay, how does the gospel infuse into, you know, leadership in the city?
Yeah.
People have influence in actually decisions around the city.
Yeah.
If I'm being invited into those spaces, then how can I use that?
Totally. How can you be a witness there, and how can you try to have some influence there? That's crazy.
And so I think we're just, it's something about, sorry, on the spot with the 5-year plan question.
I know, I told you it was a gross question.
It is disgusting. So, yeah. No, but it's again, it's health, it's resilience, it's faithfulness. It's kind of that next level out from like basic small group community to more intentional discipleship. And then it's seeing those disciples really find their place in the world as missionaries. The faith and work stuff kind of coming together to where, whether it's in business, if it's on the streets, and there's lots of need on the streets in Everett. And so wherever we find ourselves, wherever God gives us favor, it's equipping the saints to be steady and to be faithful for whatever comes next. It's kind of what I see as our plan right now.
That's awesome.
I feel like this is a theme amongst many churches and pastors, is honestly like a little bit of triage during this time and season of life.
Yeah, very much.
I think we're all, I appreciate you said how, you know, trauma doesn't express itself sometimes until after the traumatic event is done, and then it starts to come up, and you're like, I should be past this now. Why is it coming up now? I actually feel like a little bit that's happening in the context even in our own community.
Yeah.
And as I talk to other pastors out there, I feel like that's a theme now. And in some ways, it's like, how do we learn from our trauma? How do we grow in that? How do we care for one another during that time? Because right now, it just seems like the easier thing is to kind of
keep pushing
or chuck grenades at one another if another person's hurting or something. And I deeply appreciate that you even use the word health. Those are things that are just so meaningful and I think are part of building a really healthy community of Christ for the world. So I deeply appreciate that.
Sean, can I ask you an easier question?
Sure.
My question's dumb.
How can the people of Imprint Church be praying for you and then also be praying for Reach Church right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Gosh, that's a great question. That's actually a harder question.
My question is awesome.
Maybe what are you praying for your church, and where can we join you in that then?
We have a really interesting conversation happening tomorrow night with Bob Stone, who I mentioned earlier, who I worked with. We're doing this Thursday night kind of interview with myself and Bob, and we're just calling it Navigating Church Hurt.
Yeah.
And, I think we talked earlier about just how a lot of times, like Darren said, there's just grenades that get thrown when we see problems in the church. I'm just so fatigued of that. Like, I think there's a place for critique, but I just am so desperate to see people who still love the church, who aren't afraid to attack the hard issues, but also will offer hope and a way out of the pain. And so Bob and I are just going to have an honest conversation tomorrow about what does it mean to navigate painful experiences in the church, and how can we not negate what they were, but take meaningful steps forward towards healing and wholeness, and not lose sight of who we're actually worshiping. It's not a pastor, it's not a building, it's not a church, it's Christ.
Yeah.
And if he's the head of the church, then we need to go to him and get our healing from him so that we can actually re-engage this thing appropriately. And I know that's loaded and complex, and people would say, well, what's your plan for that? And honestly, we're building a plane in the air as we go. I'd say that would be a massive prayer for us, would be just where that trauma is starting to bubble up to the surface with certain people, just realizing, wow, like the church really needs a lot of healing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so pray for us as we endeavor to shoulder that with
100%.
Our church and with our community. I think another thing would be, we're still a pretty small team. We've seen a decent amount of growth this last couple of years, but we're still a very small staff. And so I think just the financial provision and the wisdom for hiring healthy, faithful people that can carry this mission with us is really going to be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think for my family, we're in a good season overall. I think just the young kid thing is just tiresome.
Oh my gosh, dude. Yeah, it's exhausting.
Like, we love our kids. My gosh, like, we prayed for children for years. It's a miracle that we have them.
Now you need to pray for energy.
We just need energy. Yeah, we need sleep. And my wife is homeschooling our daughter, and my son's done with preschool, so they're just home for the summer. It's still gray outside.
Totally.
Like, we just need endurance and energy and joy. I love my family. It's the joy of my life. But I think that, like anybody, we can get really tired and just worn out. And so just joy and energy for the family would be huge.
Yeah, you got it, man. Well, hey.
Yeah, listeners, as soon as this, were you going
to
say that?
I was going to say, as soon as this podcast comes to the end, as soon as you hear my weird little outro blurb, stop and pray for Sean, pray for Reach, pray for his family and all these things. Sean, if people have questions about Reach or they want to shoot a word of encouragement over, I mean, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can go to our website, reacheverett.cc, or you can follow us on Instagram, reacheverett.cc.
Do that, yeah.
Yeah, those are the easiest ones, I would say.
Awesome, man. Well, dude, thank you for being on here and letting us know what the Lord's doing around. And yeah, it's super encouraging hearing you talk and hearing about what the Lord has brought you through.
And the call on your life is clear.
Yeah, the call.
It's so
the call
cool.
It is. Dude, it's really, totally it's, is. This was so encouraging.
It's cool, and you know, we keep talking about calling, and it's cool that you've had people. We always talk about blind spots as a bad thing in terms of pride or whatever, but it's cool that you had people who were brave enough to encourage you into things that they saw in you, and I think that's awesome.
So, thank you, and I appreciate you guys too. Thank you, Imprint, for 10 years plus of faithfulness, and just know we're in your corner too. We're really stoked to be ministering in this region with you, and. And I just hope whoever listens to this, whoever got to the end of these ramblings will feel encouraged just to be, you know, if I could say anything, it would just be, man, just be faithful to what God has called you to today.
Mm. Yeah.
Don't overthink it. Don't try to make it more complicated than it is. Just be faithful to Christ and to the things he's given you today. And he's going to tell a great story through your life. That's really what it's all about, you know?
Amen.
Amen. Absolutely. Well, guys, reach out to Sean. First of all, as soon as this is over, stop, pray for him, pray for his family, pray for Reach. But reach out to him, send a word of encouragement. No one is too encouraged. So be sure to reach out to him. Let him know that we're praying and then we know what's going on and we're excited to see what the Lord does up in Everett. So we'll be back next week with somebody else. It'll be exciting to see who. But for now, we will see you then.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. For more information and resources from Imprint Church, you can download our app or head to imprintchurch.org.
Adrian!